Welcome back, Wrestling Fandom Podcast listeners. I'm your host, Jesse Lawson, of course. As you can tell, I've gotten my audio issues figured out from the last episode. But I really hope you enjoyed the first one and understanding a little bit about this podcast and also hearing my stories. Well, a few of them, as you'll hear more as the time goes. Today we have a guest, Gregory Huddle. He's a good friend of mine. We sat down for about 50 minutes and recorded an interview for this podcast. We talk about everything wrestling, action figures to go into live events to being in the business at a weekend warrior level, and I hope you guys enjoy that. We also have a couple new things. I'm going to run down some news going on in the wrestling world within the last week. And then my favorite segment on the podcast is each week will be the Pacific Northwest segment. The Pacific Northwest segment entails all the pro wrestling shows you can see within the next couple of weeks all over the Pacific Northwest. So sit back, enjoy. But first, let's go to the news. Welcome back. This is the new one of the new segments here on Wrestling Fandom Podcast. It's our news. Each and every week I'll go over some of the bigger news in professional wrestling going around the world. But today, unfortunately, I have to start this segment with a memorial to Paraguayo. He passed away this past week, I believe Wednesday sometime. I didn't get to see much of Paraguayo due to the fact, I didn't live in San Diego, California, or Mexico. Paraguayo was considered to be like one of the original Hulk Hogan megastars of Mexico. Now granted, not El Santo megastar, but he was a megastar. And it's so sad that we're another one we've lost. A few years ago we lost his son, Paraguayo Jr., in the ring to a brain aneurysm. And then this year we lose his daddy. That sucks. That really sucks. But there's only two things in life that are guaranteed, and that's death and taxes. But Mr. Aguayo, I'd like to say on behalf of every wrestling fan in the world, especially the ones in Mexico, we'd like to say thank you for all your hard work, your sacrifices to entertain us. Thank you. Okay, since we got the sad stuff out the way, let's get into some other news. Let's start off with some AEW. Fyre Fest last week. A week from today. Man, what a show. What a show. There was but still, overall, for a second showing, AEW is doing great. The Cody Rhodes and Darby Allin match. Oh my god. Match of the night. Straight up. I don't care. This is my opinion. They had the match of the night. That chair shot. That unprotected chair shot. Like, dang. we got some controversy coming out of that. My biggest thing is it's 2019. We know everything about CTE and concussions that, we never knew before. And yet, I'm still gonna act like it's 1999 and nobody knows anything about concussions or anything, and just balls Mahoney take a chair shot. I don't know. I feel it's. I feel the way people are reacting about an unprotected chair shot's a little ridiculous, though, at the same time. And I do have to agree with something I heard while listening to Raven's podcast, The Raven Effect, over at Westwood One. Please download. Just support Raven. He said, yeah, the gimmick. Okay, well, the chair was gimmicked. The Young Bucks came out and admitted, yeah, the chair was gimmicked and da 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 da. Well, I have to agree with Raven on what he said. And the Young Bucks just killed all AEW's credibility in one fell swoop. You don't go out there and you don't tell the fans the magic. Sorry, I'm a little old school. That kind of sticks in my craw. I am, just for you guys' understanding, I'm way more of a Jim Cornette fan than I'll ever be a Vince Russo fan. So, with that being said, you can already kind of tell how I look at professional wrestling. But with that being said, I love me some AEW. I love me some Cody Rhodes. I love me some Kenny Omega. The Bucks are awesome. It's about the only difference. But when you're starting a new company, you don't go out and you don't kill your credibility in your second show, in your second press conference after the said show. I just hope, that they learn. You don't say that shit. I'm sorry. I just believe that we're all magicians and you shouldn't reveal your magic. But let's get on Jungle Boy, the Fatal 4-Way with Jamie Jacobs, Jungle Boy, MJF, and Hangman. Man, Jungle Boy shined in that one. I noticed Jungle Boy a lot more in that match. And of course, you got to give it to MJF, the biggest and best heel right now. He may not be the quote unquote biggest, but to me, he is the biggest heel in the business right now, and he's the only one that knows how to be a heel. Just plain and simple knows how to be a heel. I can't wait to see what MJF does on a weekly basis when they get to TNT this fall. All in all, AEW's second show out, awesome show. Awesome show. The lights out match with Jon Moxley and Joey Janela, freaking crazy. Alright. Now, I grew up, in the ECW era and the deathmatch era and all that, and of the early 2000s and late 90s. And man, that was crazy. I mean, I've seen Mox take some real punishment. And same with Joey Janela. And then these two just have a professional wrestling quality hardcore match. And what I mean by that is they legitimately told a story in the match that had weapons. Not we don't need to tell a story because we're using weapons like most hardcore. So kudos to Jon Moxley and Joey Janela and their agent for that match, Jerry Lynn. Like, kudos, gentlemen, kudos. The best hardcore match I've seen in years. But a week from today is AEW's Fight for the Fallen. You know, we got on that card, it's Cody Rhodes and Dustin Rhodes versus the Young Bucks. We got Kenny Omega versus Seema. Adam Page versus Kip Sabin. Brandi Rhodes taking on Allie. You know, I'll most likely be watching this next week. Of course I will be. It's wrestling and it's not WWE. Speaking of WWE, let's get into the WWE section of the news. So last week it was announced Paul Heyman and Eric Bischoff are taking over creative in WWE. Now, as we've seen Monday night, a little bit of Heyman's fingerprints were... Not a little bit. Quite a bit of Monday night had Heyman's fingerprints all over it. And a lot of people are giving it best praise that it's the best Monday Night Raw that they've seen in years. You know, I'm not going to disagree with that. I'm not going to agree with that. Mainly because I didn't watch that crap. I'm sorry, I can't watch WWE's product no more. It's way too watered down. They might as well get rid of the ring and start filming on a backstage, back lot, you know, Young and the Restless set, because I could honestly care less about the whole thing with Becky Lynch and Seth Rollins or Baron Corbin. I mean, and it's really sad because, you know, the WWE is the Walt Disney. It's the Coca-Cola. It's the brand that ain't going nowhere and never will go anywhere. Whether anybody believes it or not. But hopefully in the next few months after this transitional period, it'll be way more enjoyable and I'll actually maybe sit down and watch more than 30 minutes of it before saying, nah, it's time for bed. SmackDown had a little bit of difference to it this week. Not much. But from the reports and everything I've been reading and seeing, it looks like Bischoff's gonna sprinkle in stuff, but he's mainly not gonna have his hands in the creative, so to speak, until they move to Fox this October. SmackDown moves to Fox this October. So think you might see a little bit of changes to SmackDown, but not much at the moment. When Bischoff comes in, I think there'll be a pretty big change to SmackDown. Raw's already starting its transition. I also count this as maybe the first sign that Vince knows he's in trouble. And I'm not talking about WWE. WWE is a company, as a brand, all that. Like I said, It's not going anywhere. It's the Walt Disney of professional wrestling. It's not going to go anywhere. So, but this could be the first sign in Vince saying maybe I've lost a little bit of touch, but I don't want to ask my son-in-law for help. Which, honestly, he should do. Because Triple H and what he's done with NXT, if that was the WWE main roster product, WWE would not have such bad ratings or such trouble drawing a live crowd. You know, the Stomping Grounds pay-per-view in the Tacoma Dome was pretty bad. I mean, from all accounts that I was reading, you know, there was only a little bit of more people there at the Tacoma Dome for a WWE pay-per-view than there was the night before at a live event here in our dinky Spokane arena. You know, I mean, our arena holds, you know, 14-8, I believe, altogether, but, you know, the Tacoma Dome is like 20,000, and they only had 6,000 people in there. Like, that's pretty bad. You know, so hopefully this change will bring, some goodness into the world, of professional wrestling, you know. And then you had Ring of Honor, best in the world, last Friday on the 28th of June. Show had some good hype behind it, you know. Looking forward to the Matt Taven, Jeff Cobb match for the championship. You know, Marty Scurll teasing the fourth member of the Villain Enterprises, you know. All in all, a good show. You know, Ring of Honor's in that rebuilding phase since most of their guys have left within the last couple years. You know, their mainstays like Adam Cole, Roderick Strong, you know, Kyle O'Reilly, Bobby Fish, you know. But Kevin Owens, but they're continuing to rebuild, and they're, me personally, I think Ring of Honor is doing just fine. You know, every company goes through phases. Every company, you know, the ups and downs, just the peaks and the valleys, just like the wrestling industry itself. You know, but they're doing great. You know, they have great workers. You know, the Briscoes, Jay Lethal, Matt Taven, Dalton Castle, Flip Gordon, Jonathan Gresham, Silas Young. Like, these are some of the names that will headline Ring of Honor for years to come. Now, some of them, the Briscoes, I've already said, you know, they've headlined Ring of Honor for years, and they still will for years to come. You know, Ring of Honor has been a really fun promotion for me to watch over the last almost 10 years now that I've really gotten into Ring of Honor. You know, I first started watching Ring of Honor when Jimmy Jacobs and Steve Corino and Kevin Owens formed Scum. That was the storyline that really got me hooked into Ring of Honor. But a few of the highlights from that show, Flip Gordon was revealed to be the fourth member of the Villain Enterprises. And unfortunately, Matt Taven defeated Jeff Cobb to retain his championship. And we also have some MLW Major League Wrestling news. Tonight, the King of Coliseum in Chicago. They're going to be, I believe it's going to be a special on BN Sports. Find it if you have it. Watch it. But for the MLW Tag Team titles, Teddy Hart and Brian Pillman Jr. will defend against MJF and Richard Holiday. And then you got the MLW National Open Weight Championship on the line as Alexander Hammerstone will go against Davey Boy Smith Jr. Los Parks will take on Dr. Wagner and Wagner Jr. I don't know why they legitimately spelt out his whole first name instead of just putting Dr. Wagner Jr. Okay. No one in America is going to know his full name unless you're down south. In an unsanctioned match, the Von Erichs. That's right. If this is kind of your first step into indie wrestling, I said the Von Erichs. Kevin Von Erich's sons, Eric and Marshall, are going to go against the Contra Unit. Then you got Manus Warner versus Beasta 666. And then in the main event of that show, you got MLW champion and Prestige, Portland's Prestige champion Tom Lawler, defending his MLW championship against Jacob Fatu. That's going to be a hell of a show. So if you're in Chicago and you be there tonight, get there tonight. MLW is putting on a hell of a product. You know, Court Bauer, great job coming back to bringing MLW back. And you're doing awesome with it. Well, that looks like that's the end of the news. So let's sit back. And we'll be right back with the Pacific Northwest schedule. Welcome back, fandom listeners. This is a new segment I plan on doing as much as I can. It's called the Pacific Northwest segment. I'm going to run down some shows, upcoming shows around the Pacific Northwest for all you wrestling fans. Make sure you go out if you're in the area and see these shows and support these promotions and support these indie wrestlers, because without us, they can't live, a lot of them, because this is their only job. DOA's Meltdown, July 7th at Harvey's Comedy Club in Portland, Oregon. We also have 3-2-1 Battles Wet Hot Summer, July 12th at the Showbox in Seattle. Without a Cause is Rated E for Everyone, July 14th in Everett, Washington. Then we have Northwest Pros 6th Anniversary Show featuring the Human Tornado, July 20th at the Key Peninsula Civic Center in Vaughan, Washington. We have World Underground Wrestling's Devil's Rejects, also July 20th in Bremerton, Washington. Cascade Championship Wrestling's America, July 26th at the Museum in Spokane. You got Defy's Super 8X Grand Prix, July 26th and 27th, Washington Hall in Seattle. You got Combat Pros Round 19, August 3rd, Red Curtain Foundation at the Arts of Maryville, Washington. New Japan Pro Wrestling Super J Cup, August 22nd at the Temple Theater in Tacoma. Of course, Blue Collar Championship Wrestling in Portland each and every Sunday. Make sure you check out all these promotions and more. And if I missed any dates or you would like to add some more dates to this list, please don't hesitate to hit me up at WrestlingFandomPod@gmail.com. Welcome back, Wrestling Fandom Podcast listeners. Today, I got a guest with me, Mr. Gregory Huddle. How you doing, Greg?
I'm doing good, man. Doing good. Happy to be here.
Good. I'm glad that I finally got a guest on here for the second episode. Got the audio issues worked out, as you can tell.
Sounds better.
Yeah, I'm sure it does. Okay, well, you know, let's get started. How did your wrestling fandom start? How did you become a wrestling fan?
Pretty much, like, the only memory that I really have, like, the first memory I have was the Coliseum home video Razor Ramon special. Like, my mom was obsessed with Razor Ramon, so I had to watch that video on loop. And it wasn't even because the kids liked wrestling, it was because my mom was obsessed with Razor Ramon. So I was like, just... you're going to watch this no matter what. So I just kind of got bit by the bug just by watching Razor Ramon over and over and over. I mean, IC title match, the ladder match was worth it, though. So, I mean, I guess that's where I could say my bug kind of bit me was right there with stupid Razor Ramon Coliseum home video.
Now, how old were you at that time?
4 or 5, maybe.
Nice.
That I can remember. That was a long time ago. I'm 28 now, so this is like... you're asking me to dive back into a like library that's stashed away in some deep, dark cave.
So, well, welcome to the Wrestling Fandom Podcast. That's what I'm here to do, is dig that out of you.
Yeah, it's good reminiscing on it, though. It's not often that somebody gets to sit down and actually talk about their love for it after they're crossed that barricade. So it's actually kind of fun to sit down and talk about being a fan instead of being one of the boys.
See, and that's what I want to hear. I want to hear all types of wrestling fandom stories. But you were talking about Coliseum home video. I'm sorry to go off track, but man, some of them old Coliseum home videos, they're up on the network. Have you seen the Razor
Ramon? Yeah, oh yeah, that's why I've woken up to it twice, and I'm just like, am I 4 again? Like, is it, have I traveled back in time? Like, just, the only thing it's missing is the old wrestling figure intro before the video actually started. Like, if it had the figure commercial before, it would just be that much better. So, Vinnie Mac, if you're listening, add the commercial before any Coliseum home video episodes. Add that commercial because it makes it better. Gives you that nostalgia back. Like, I mean, I forbid, kids are probably gonna be like, I want to buy those figures, and their parents are gonna spend $600-$700 on an individual figure trying to get those now. So it's good, because now that, you know, with the new generation, I'm glad that they're getting to see what we grew up on, like the old school stuff. Like, it's not all Attitude Era PG stuff that's on TV now. Like, there is stuff that came before that, so exactly. Go back and look and see what we were brought up on, because a lot of fans will be started from seeing the old stuff versus the new stuff, because
straight up
a lot of new
up.
Stuff's watered down. No offense, some of it is, catch heat for that one later, I know, but some of it is watered down.
Well, yeah, well, I just think, you know, it's a little watered down, but also, you know, it's not what we remember. Like, everything changes, you know. And nothing can stay the same, but you'll always remember how it was.
Yeah.
As a child, the first impressions.
Exactly.
All right, nice. You know, you were talking about them Coliseum home video.
I know, now I'm going to go home tonight and watch it. Go back and try to find those commercials, like, and post them.
Like, I just got the Randy Savage beginning, the new WWF action figures in my head. It's just...
those were the best days. Like, just...
oh, yeah! New WWF tag team figures! They're out of control! This was an ass. These folks are really getting nasty! Tuesday, what a nasty boy! Now, what a rush! New WWF tag team figures! It's sold separately, dig it!
They knew how to market back then, I swear. Like, you don't see hardly any action wrestling figure, like, commercials at all anymore. And if you do, it's like 20 seconds and it didn't even like show you any of the details where they would show you everything the figures would do back then, like if it had the articulating arms that would like
straight
spring,
up
like the, spring down or whatever,
the Hulkamania,
yeah, right, the body slam.
Well, I got a question about more of this later on, and but right now I want to ask about you growing up as a fan in Virginia. You're actually not originally from Spokane.
Not at all.
You're from Virginia.
Yes.
And you grew up as a wrestling fan in the Monday Night War era.
In WCW country.
Not just WCW country. Like, my uncle and his family, they're all in Richmond. And
been there several times.
That's like the middle of the ground. They got WWF. They got WCW.
Yeah, that was literally the war grounds in Virginia, was Richmond Coliseum. Like, they were fighting over spots. Like, who's going to be there this week? Is it going to be Vince? Is it going to be Ted? Which way are we going? But, you know, growing up down there, we were all against Connecticut and New York. We didn't care for Vinnie Mac at all. We were all WCW Ted Turner people down there. I mean, Monday nights, I wasn't allowed to watch Raw for, like, I think I was, like, 13 the first time I got to watch an episode of Raw, I think. I'm not 100% on that, so don't quote me on it. But it was weird, like, flipping back and forth. Like, the TNN, when they were on TNN, was like...
Yeah, okay.
My grandparents sitting behind me going, no, no. Like, seeing Sable come out, like, you're too young for this. Like, that was, like, a big no-no. Then you flip back and you see the Nitro girls and it's like... I mean, yeah, they got a little bit more clothes on, but can we watch the other episode? I mean, being a 13-year-old kid is like, what the heck, man? I want to watch that, not this. But at the same time, we grew up on WCW, so I'm a stinger for life. Like, that's, even though he's now retired thanks to some stuff that happened in the ring, but we got to see him one last time. However, going back, I keep going off on my little tangents here, but being a fan down there, it was completely different. Going to school, like, all of our friends, we'd fight over our favorite wrestlers every single day. Like, I had a buddy who was a diehard Mach fan. Like, he would literally come over, had the glasses on every day, bandana. Bryant, I know you're probably going to listen to this because you're on my Facebook. So, if you're listening to this, we miss you out here, too. And you're still cool in my book, I guess, even though you're a Macho Man fan. I was always, you know, K-Dog, Mysterio.
NWO Wolfpack.
Yeah, I was red and black. I remember actually going to a Thunder and sitting in the back. We had one of those old conversion vans. And my mom had bought me a big poster board and like four big permanent marker boxes. And I sat there in the back of the van on the whole way coloring a giant Sting head. As soon as we got to our seats, security took my sign.
Oh.
And my mom's like, you guys suck. You just ruined his night. Next thing I know, like, we can go back and watch on the network now. There's a clip where Flair and the Horsemen are in the ring cutting a promo, and the camera kind of pans around to the crowd in the front row. You can see my mom grabbing me from the back of my head and pulling me back from going over the rail. It's like one of those moments, like freeze frames, like, what was I thinking? Like, I would have got killed if I would have crossed that rail that night. Like,
no.
It would have been like a little 10-year-old kid getting stomped in the ground by the Horsemen. Like...
No, I'm pretty sure they would have. Randy Anderson, would have been able to handle you.
Oh, yeah, easily. We have several stories from back in the day. Like, leaving the events was one of the scariest things because every time Flair came to town, he would wait until the crowd was filing out, it seemed. And they would all just haul ass out of the parking lot. And it's like, just, you'd see the fans just start spreading really quickly. It's like, who was that? Oh, you don't even have to ask. That was Flair and the Horsemen trying to get out of here, but they were trying to take everybody out with them. Like, it was just
one of those... leaving this place for 30 years.
Yeah, they've known that, you know, the fans are going to be right there, so they're going to try and get that last little bit of heat, it seems. Just, like, make you mad before you get in your car. Like, why'd they try to hit us? But at the same time, the Horsemen, they made everything what it was when WCW came to town. Like, Flair country. I mean, we were literally 2 hours from Charlotte, North Carolina. I mean, what more can you ask for? Flair comes to town, you got a sold-out building.
Oh,
like every that. Time. I mean, funny story about Pulaski. Flair will never step foot in my hometown again. Wrestling came to town back in believe it was the mid-70s, early 80s, at Calfee Ballpark. It was Flair, I want to say T.A. Magnum, and a few other guys. Well, Flair pulled some dirty tactics in one of his matches. Well, his limo was parked right outside the gate. Well, every single fan he had just made mad went out and grabbed rocks and smashed every window out of his limousine. And from that day forth, he said he would never step foot in our hometown ever again. And we haven't had a lot of wrestling shows in our hometown since then. So I think we've had maybe 10 in the last 20 years. So, Flair, I'm sorry for our hometown. Please come back to Pulaski and help us out and bring a wrestling show with you if you want to. It would be nice.
I think nowadays it would be like, kid, just drive to Charlotte or just drive up to Richmond.
He showed up two towns away from us one time for a very, very random meet and greet. It was in a lawn and garden of a Walmart for Coca-Cola. We literally stood in line for 10 minutes to meet Ric Flair, and it was like, everybody's like, why is he in the lawn and garden section at Walmart? Is he hard for money right now?
Well, no.
But then we all get up there, and he's just like, oh, we just want to come out and sign autographs for people in our hometown area sometimes. I'm like, oh, that's freaking cool. So, like, kind of take that as food for thought when you grow into the business, because then you're like, if he can do that with his stardom, there's no reason that we can't do the exact same thing, so...
Exactly.
I love Flair to death. Like, Flair, some of the stuff, the stories that I've heard that I can't mention from relatives back home, like, he's one of the coolest guys out there, and, like, you'll never meet another guy that'll do some crazy stuff for you without being asked.
You know, you hear that from all the old-timers about the Nature Boy. But you were talking about shows like Thunder that you attended. And,
oh, yeah.
Traveling to shows and, you know, doing your posters up in the back seat of the van on your way to the shows, you know. Were you able to go to a lot of shows since you lived where you did, you know, the 2 hours from Charlotte, not far from Richmond, you know?
Did you
go to many shows, and what was your first show you went to?
First show that I recall that wasn't an independent show was...
Your first show.
First show was a WCW Nitro that my uncle took me and my brother. He went on a date, actually, and took me and my brother with him because she had... I don't remember if it was a daughter or niece or whatever, but he took us along with him. But we set up in the nosebleeds. This is at the Salem Civic Center, which is a lesser known venue for wrestling altogether. But the seats were so high up, you could see behind the curtain. We seen Colonel Parker talking to Hulk, and we're just like, kids, like, we idolize Hogan. Like, this is like going through our heads, like, what is going on here? Like, we didn't know the rules or anything. We're just like, our idol's sitting right there, and we can see him. But why is he talking to him? Like, it was just one of those things, like...
First time.
First time.
Show, and it's the first time the veil's revealed to
exactly.
You.
It's like, what the... Whoops. Why? But then, like, getting older, like, WCW came to town all the time. It seemed like every 6-7 months they were in town. We never missed... I think I missed one Nitro the whole time that they were running. My brother and him went, but I did not. I was sick that week, I believe. But every other... Thunder WWE show that came through, I was there. Like, I have pictures. My first replica title I bought, I was 15, 16 years old. Just started working, saved up enough money on my paychecks, making $5.15 an hour. And now I'm making $14 an hour. It's so weird how from 15 to now is like, whew. But saving up money and going to the merch stand and buying the big gold for the first time, and like, I have a picture on my cell phone. I don't know who I called. I think it was my brother when he was in the military. But I was on the phone, and I had my Rey Mysterio mask in one hand, my championship belt, and my John Cena Hustle Loyalty Respect shirt. Like, giant super fan. And it was the night ECW came in. It was right before One Night Stand. 2000 is the second one.
Oh, okay.
The Hammerstein.
Okay.
When Edge did his little run-in with the
gimmick. Yeah, 2006.
Yeah.
The infamous If Cena Wins, We Riot.
I actually got to see the original ECW set that night, and I was stoked because they just pull out the box, and we're like, oh, it's the brick wall. It was just awesome. Then the screen lowered down, and next thing we know, Big Show comes out, but no warning, just pyro, just bam, right next to us. And we're like,
oh, damn.
Yeah, don't do that ever again. Warning to anybody who ever goes to a show that Big Show's on, wear earplugs. But yeah, that show was pretty awesome. Got to see a cage match between Booker T and Bobby Lashley that night too.
Oh, nice.
The double tapings were always awesome. We always got SmackDown. We never got... Raw didn't come until I moved out of Virginia and moved out here. And then they got Raw. And I was like, why? But I had already made that six-hour drive to Richmond.
Yeah.
To see the draft show because, for some reason, radio shows back there love me. Because every time I call in, I always win tickets. And they always give me extra tickets. So I ended up with... My brother bought two tickets for the show already. And then I ended up winning four more. So we ended up going to the show and then got there and made a bunch of friends outside and ended up taking them with us. So it's pretty cool. But shout out to Denny's in Richmond. This is a road story. Don't ever order cheese fries at the Denny's outside of, like, right outside the Coliseum.
I know exactly which Denny's. Yes, I've been to the Richmond Coliseum.
They like to give you what's called welfare fries, where it's not real cheese. It's what we call government cheese. I don't think a lot of places still have it, but apparently Denny's outside the Richmond Coliseum still has access to it.
Well, the Richmond Coliseum is not in the best neighborhood of Richmond, Virginia.
It is not. And people tell me that the roads in Spokane are bad. I say go to Richmond. You'll see something way worse, and your car will be dead by the time you leave. It was for us. So, but yeah, the wrestling back there, I mean, I went to so many shows with WCW. WWE, the first show I ever went to with them was a house show with Justin Credible and Rhino.
Oh, okay.
So it was right after ECW kind of came in. Okay. Like, right in the height of, like,
the invasion.
Yeah, height of that. But the memory, we were on the rail for that one. That's actually the night my mom met my stepdad. That was actually kind of cool for that one. I remember he was holding an Undertaker, like one of those old big cardboard cutouts across the aisle from us. It was one of the awkward situations. But yeah, that show, Justin Credible grabbed Rhino by the dong with the freaking salad tongs.
Oh.
And I popped, like, being a little kid, still popped for that, because that's one thing that I knew hurt like hell was getting hit in the nuts, because having an older brother, I got hit in the nuts quite a bit. But that show, and then the WrestleMania 19 Revenge Tour, when they came through, I'm still mad. I live in Washington State. I've been to Safeco Field. I've walked that field, and I hate the fact that I wasn't living here. I moved to Washington State in 2005 with my dad. And lived there temporarily, and that's when I got to go to Safeco, and I was like, man, I barely had missed it, just going to see WrestleMania at Safeco. It happened not even like, what, 4 years prior to that?
Oh, brother.
5 years.
Oh, bro.
And I was like, oh, I barely missed it. And so going to the 19 Revenge Tour, like, I see that as my tie-in, like, to the West Coast. Like, I went to that tour, and then I moved back to the West Coast, and now it's like I'm on that same path to get to that point.
Yeah.
But dang it, I missed WrestleMania in Washington State when I could have probably went if I would have been living here. My dad wouldn't have let us miss that at all.
Hey, I totally missed it, and I was living here, but my mother wasn't going to let a 13-year-old Greyhound bus with a ticket to WrestleMania on to Safeco Field. She wasn't going to allow that.
Yeah, but that show was actually pretty cool because I got to see Triple H tag with Kevin Nash, because he had just made his return right when that tour was starting. He had just came back, and Booker T, Shawn Michaels, and I can't remember the other two guys that were in that match, but it was a six-man tag, but it was like an all-star match, and everybody's just, oh, it was Kane and Taker really on the other team, and Jericho, and we're just like, what? That's a big, you know, stacked main event, and the crowd, that's probably the biggest crowd I've ever seen for a live event just because of that. And my parents had pulled the wool over our eyes for like 2 months before, like saying we were going to go get tickets. Then we go to Roanoke to get the tickets, and then they take us to Circuit City. Right. And we never go get the tickets, but they had bought them at Circuit City, but didn't tell us. So we're like all freaking out because we didn't go to the box office and everything. So it's like, I miss those days of being able to be that little kid fan to where your parents would do stuff like that, and you would actually cry because you weren't going to the event, but then when the day came, you get checked out of school early and all this stuff.
You find out
tickets. It's like, like that opening presents on Christmas morning does nothing to getting your tickets the day of a show. Like, your parents are like, why are you picking me up out of school? Like, you're telling them that, and they're like, oh, no reason, just get in the car. Then you hit the interstate, and you're like, wait a second. Are we going? And they're just like, shut up. Sit back here and shut up. And they say, you know, you're at the show and enjoying it. I mean, that's happened several times, but yeah, it's wrestling or wrestling shows back there. They're plentiful, and I don't think we ever really missed many of them, like, at all. Like, I talk to fans now, and it's like, I've been to like 4 or 5 shows. I'm like, I hit 4 or 5 shows by like 10 years old. Like, see, and it was one of those things that was always happening for us. And we were raised on wrestling in our household. So, I mean, my mom was a mark for Razor Ramon, and my dad would, I know he's listening, Mr. Triple H Mark himself, even though we have talks about that all the time on the, when he likes to drive me to some shows that I go to. We like to have these nice, like, the conversation we're having right now is nothing compared to the conversations me and him have all the time.
See, I always wished that we got shows like you guys did over there. I remember my first one was in 92. My second one was in 96, right after WrestleMania, closer to SummerSlam. And then Monday Night Raw in 98, and then they didn't come back until 2001. Like, it's you know, we got year spans.
Yeah.
Nowadays, back in when I was a kid here.
Yeah.
WCW came 3 times the whole time they were around that I was alive, because they came with Jim Crockett back in the day.
Yeah, I see all the posters for that now, and it's like, I want them for my collection just because I live here now. So
exactly.
It's one of those things. It's like, you guys have so much history, how can I get a piece of it to keep in my collection?
Exactly.
It's hard to find those things now, though. So,
oh man, I know. I've searched plenty hours at a library on them viewfinder machines.
That's the only way you can find them, either is on the viewfinder. If you don't find them on there, you're not getting an actual copy of them.
Yeah, no. I mean, I've found a few on the Google newspaper search thing, but they don't have a lot of the newspapers.
That's the same thing.
But going back to what we were talking about earlier, we were talking about wrestling figures.
Yeah.
So, did you have a collection growing up? Like, because we were lucky enough to grow up in that generation where we actually got merchandising.
All the time.
Yeah. Well, you got to remember, before, you know, before us millennials, there was no merchandising other than maybe a t-shirt that says, I broke Wahoo's leg, from Greg Valentine. You know,
yeah, I've seen that shirt.
With iron-on letters, or Ox Baker.
They had that shirt for sale at StarCast. That was kind of funny. I laughed at it.
Or one of Ox Baker's, you know, heart punch t-shirts that his wife used to make, you know. But, so did you grow up with a collection like most of us did?
My grandmother worked at Kmart.
Oh, lucky.
So anytime the new line came out, we had it. Like, it was instantaneous. Like, it was not even on the shelves yet, and it was in our hands. Like, we were that lucky. Like, my grandmother was, she's actually our adopted grandmother, but she was awesome and always helped us out with our collections. Like, let's see, those awkward vibrating figures from WCW, we had the whole series of those.
Oh god, I remember those.
I had every Bone Cruncher that they came out with. I wish I still had them, because those things are worth money now.
No, not the Bone Cruncher.
If they're still on the package, you can get it for if you get the full set.
Yeah.
The sweat ones were the ones that we couldn't
nobody
find.
Wants.
We couldn't find them anyway. Like, they were never on the shelves when we went to get them. I don't even think they wanted to put them out, just because they look gross. Like, I don't. Did you guys have KB Toys around here?
Yes, we did.
Yeah,
yes,
we had six of those back where we grew up. They were in every little mall that we had.
See, well, at the time we only had Northtown, the one mall.
And now you know, well, there's a toy store in it, but it's not.
Yeah, really, that's not a toy store.
This town has a plethora of like little mom and pop shop, like thrift stores, that has like every toy from back in the 90s that you can ask for. And like, I've gotten lucky and found a couple cool things out here. Just recently, I picked up a Mankind water bottle.
Oh, nice.
One of the originals. Still had the tag on it, which was really awesome. And they have a couple more things out there that I'm going to go get. If you don't grab them before I do, I think I've already told you what those are. But yeah, having a collection back then, well, it wasn't really a collection much as it was, let's see how long they'll last before I can destroy them. Because I was hardcore on my toys. Like, I was one of the kids that actually took sparklers on the 4th of July and tried to get my rings pyro. Melted the shit out of them. Like, I think in my mom's basement, there's still one that's, like, warped so bad I could probably use it as a cereal bowl because it caught on fire from sticking, a, like, bottle rockets off the stick in the corners, hoping to get that flare up, but it just burnt the ring and melted it.
See, I'm all thinking you're about ready to tell me some, like, Toy Story Sid story.
No, I didn't want my figures. I just burnt the rings down trying to get that pyro effect and never could figure it out because they never made the rings flame retardant.
So. I would be like, did you seriously watch the Vampiro Sting Human Torch match and go outside and
I did actually. Up, I think I tried to do something like figures. That. I think we soaked a Sting figure in gas with the old jacket on it and actually put, we have one of the Ninja Turtle, it was either the Ghostbuster or Ninja Turtle like sets. It was like a giant tower. And then we had the Vampiro figure and we had the Sting figure and the jacket was so soaked in, like, I don't remember if it was lighter fluid or gasoline. Lit it on fire and just knocked him off the top of it and just recreated it. And it was like so cool. But then we're like, wait, that figure's gone. It just melted all, like, it was just nothing but a puddle of plastic at the end of it. And it was like, whoops, shouldn't have done that. By the way, kids, don't play with fire.
Yeah, do not play with fire.
It doesn't turn out what you think it would.
But, okay, since you did have a collection of figures and all the, you know, different types of merchandise growing up, I just got to ask, what was your favorite producer of figures? You know, are you a big fan of the original LJNs? Are you a fan of...
I had the whole series, and you're going to hate me for that. My mom had a friend when we were growing up, and he's still a huge toy collector. And we went over to his house one evening, and he literally brought me out 4 milk crates with the LJNs.
Well,
there, and then it comes out with the ring, like, with the rope still in the plastic and everything, and I didn't know what it was.
Yeah.
And they're still sitting back in Virginia in my uncle's garage, and I'm, like, slowly starting to get them out when I go back cleaning them up and trying to get them back to where they look somewhat similar to what they probably did back in the day. But the LJNs were cool. My favorite series were the Jack Specifics, though, because they were very... Like, the two packs were always good, but you could always move them in different positions.
Well, yeah, I was just going to say, they were the first, like, actual articulated...
Yeah, like, well, my Bubba Ray and Lita figures were my two favorite ones, because I recreate the table spot over and over
again. So you're talking about, like, the Titan Tron series.
Yeah, I love those.
That body style, yeah, okay.
I love those. Those were awesome. See, Titan Trons were ahead of their time, I'm sorry.
They were, but, you know, like, I hear all the time nowadays when we're talking about the Titan Tron for the Titan Tron Live, you know, it's...
Oh, yeah.
Just some crappy... 2 second thing, and if you put somebody who's not wasn't around back then, but they still had the Titantron live, they would play some random person.
Yeah, you music. Could literally take, like, on the first Titantron set you got, you could literally lick your finger and stick it across the two bars, and it would randomly play somebody's music, and you'd sit there and go, I just want to listen to entrance music, and you'd sit there and just do it over and over.
Shit,
now enter the Titantron.
I used to do that when I was playing with my Hasbros, and I want some entrance music.
Yeah, exactly. My mom would see, I was one of those kids that would come up with weird ways to make my own sets. Like, I started off with a big refrigerator box, just cutting little slits in it and making doorways. And then as I got older, it became getting those portable DVD players and sticking them behind a set that I cut out of cardboard.
There you go.
And then nowadays, kids have it so easy because WWE just came out with a legit cardboard pop and play set,
like, and it's fans,
like, yeah, and it's like, where was that when we were growing up? Like, it's not that hard. You here's see the what
thing.
They're doing.
Yeah, but here's the thing, we didn't need it because we had an imagination. Yeah. We didn't have tablets, we didn't have any of that. We still had to ride our bikes to find our friends.
Yeah. Are you excited about the LJNs coming back?
I am. I'm really
I got to see the Young Bucks ones in Vegas.
I want
to
see those up close.
They are really good, and I want to see it, but I slowly around. It's Vegas. If you can only imagine, the budget kind of went out the window pretty quick.
I bet. But, you know, I want to look at those because they look a little bit thinner, not as dense.
They're actually the original. They're not as heavy, but they're still like that.
Well, yeah.
You're not going to break it.
But the first pictures, I was like, that's like the Rick Rude Hasbro, Ric Flair Hasbro body style of an LJN.
Yeah. The Young Bucks ones were kind of weird because the way they balanced them.
Yeah.
Like they actually stand with their poses, and it's so weird, like how.
Hey, I'm glad they don't
just like fall over as soon as you set them up. They're just
like the actual LJNs. Yeah,
the LJNs, you set them up, and it's like a thump. Like, if you threw an old LJN at your brother or sister, they're dead.
Yeah.
Like, it was literally going to knock them out. Like, I've gotten hit with them several times. The King Kong Bundy one.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
it'll kill you. Yeah. You can kill somebody with
God.
That.
Oh, God.
They made them literally heavy enough to where it was, like, somewhat the scale. Like,
yeah,
his weight was almost, like, 10 pounds, it felt like.
I can think of a couple stories about a couple brothers that are my cousins with a King Kong Bundy LJN. So,
shout out to those two knuckleheads. Know they're listening to.
All right. Well, are there any like personal or life touching moments that pro wrestling's ever had on your life, or any positive or negative influences? Like, how has pro wrestling touched and affected you?
That's a deep one. So, actually, going back, like, I lost one of my uncles a couple years ago, and he was pretty much the biggest supporter I ever had in wrestling as far as, like, wanting to do anything. I can still actually go back on the WWE Network and see my uncle because of that. Like, he's on an episode of Thunder just sitting there, and I can go back and actually make eye contact with him on an episode and still, like, feel like he's watching me do what I do now. Like, that's
awesome.
Yeah, like, it's one of those things that I can actually connect with. And also, my aunt passed away not even 2 weeks ago. It wasn't even a little over a week ago, actually. And I went back to Virginia and worked for a company back there. And she was the only one on my stepdad's family to make the trip down with my mom, sat ringside, and supported me in my first match back in Virginia. And then she passed away this last week. And, like, it's hit home, but at the same time, it's like, I thank her for actually supporting what I did, because we all need that support system. It doesn't matter what line of work you're in. Being supported is being supported. But my family has always, wrestling's brought us closer together. Like, my cousin, who's currently fighting cancer back in Virginia, he has replica titles, like the big boys, not the cheesy stiff leather ones. He has, like, ones that were $600-$700 a pop, and that was the first title I ever got to hold, was the NWA heavyweight title,
the dome.
And that pursued me to want to actually hold a title in the future. Like, it wasn't so much being in the business, it's like, I would one day want to hold, like, a real title that's my own. But at the time, I didn't really think about the business being what it is now. Hindsight 2020, I kind of wish I would have thought a little harder. But like, my family's always been tied with wrestling. Like, anytime we got together in family outings or anything, me and my brother would be out in the front yard, and my uncle would be refereeing, me and him beating the crap out of each other, just slamming each other on the ground. Then it would always end with me getting in trouble because I had done choke my brother to where he turned blue, and they're like, "Don't hurt him, Greg. Don't hurt him, Greg." And it's like, "Oops!" Like, I thought this was real. Like, I'm supposed to choke him until he can't move. Like, but it was always that thing. Like, we always came back to his pro wrestling. Like, did you watch this week's episode of Nitro or Thunder? Do you have new figures that you want to show us? You know, all this stuff. Like, every year for Christmas, that's all we ever got.
So it was a family bond.
Yeah, it was the glue that held us together. Like, so many of our families have passed on now, it's like we've lost some of the connection, but at the same time, they all message me, like, regularly now, and, like, we can't believe that we're actually getting to see you do it. Like, it used to be, are we going to watch wrestling this week? Now it's, when can we watch you wrestle? Like, it's one of those weird things. I mean, now I'm not really wrestling as much as I am refereeing, but at the same time. It's the same thing. They're watching me now instead of us sitting on a couch watching it together. And we're still bonding over the fact that wrestling's still in our lives and it's holding us together. So some people have church. We have wrestling.
I was just going to say, so pro wrestling's pretty much like your grandmama that holds the family pretty together. Pretty much, yeah. You know, the glue that keeps everybody still
Where's everybody meeting in on Sunday? We're meeting we're meeting at Granny's house.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that's a true thing, too. We all used to meet at Granny's house on Sundays. And that was like, there'd be like 100 of us in her little trailer, single-wide trailer, eating mashed potatoes and whatever meat she picked out from the grocery store that week, whether it be from Winn-Dixie or what used to be the Piggly Wiggly back in the day. Some people know, get that reference. Good old Piggly Wiggly. But yeah, wrestling is, it's always been a glue for our family. It's always been a staple. Even though like I'm the only one that's ever crossed into it, it's always been there, no matter what.
Yeah. So, I gotta ask, because, you know, you brought up Ric Flair and the Four Horsemen. Who are some of... Okay, let's say, not some. Who are your top five goats?
Top five? Oof, that's a tough one.
Now, right, this is yours.
Any generation?
Any generation, this is yours. This is your top five. You can.
Well,
you
we gotta start. We gotta start off right. Bruno's number one. We gotta start right there because I'm not gonna knock the man. He paved the way for all of us. I mean, you can't sit here and say he didn't. And Bruno, of course, we gotta go with Mr. Macho Man. Even though I hated the gimmick. Don't get me wrong, but it was so good. Like going back and watching it now, it's. Still gives me chills. The Mega Powers.
Oh, yeah. Elizabeth. Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's... Mach is up there. Some people think I put Hogan up there, but I don't put Hogan on my GOATs list anymore. Like, it's... It's one of those things, like, you go back and watch that five moves. Yeah, those five moves were over, but... I mean, it's my personal five. So, growing up with what I did, Arn Anderson is definitely on my GOATs list. Actually,
that's a very good one.
Arn's God. Like, that's the best way to put it. Can't wait to hear his podcast coming out here shortly with Conrad Thompson. That's gonna be awesome. We're gonna put Taker up there because Taker's Taker. Like, I got talked to him one time outside of a SmackDown because he rolled up in a Lincoln, and we got there like 6 hours early, so it was pretty cool seeing him. But he's also humble as, like, one of the coolest guys you could actually talk to. Like, you'd think he'd be real quiet. Not at all. Like, he's very fan-first. Like, fan-first gets me... You'll be on my GOAT list if you put your fans first versus being somebody that's just out to get that paycheck from a fan. Let's see. That was three. Bruno, Mach.
That was four.
Four. Bruno, Mach, Arn.
And then Taker.
Taker. Number five. Oh, crap. Five's a hard one, but the Nature Boy is, I'm from the South. If I leave Flair off my GOAT list, I'm gonna go home and I'm not gonna have windows in my car when I go home. My rental's gonna get smashed up. But yeah, Flair was always, he's the champ, man. Well, I mean, he's styling, profiling, well, Rolex wearing,
yeah,
kiss stealing, wheeling dealing.
Woo!
Exactly.
So, you know. You were talking a little bit about it, but what's it like going out and being a weekend warrior in these smaller regional indies and doing refereeing and working, for these smaller indie companies?
It's been a blast. I'm not gonna lie. Like, I got started in SAW, Spokane Anarchy Wrestling, here in town. Small. But it's slowly gotten better and better over time. I mean, I didn't think I'd be getting this far. Like, this coming Friday, I'm down in Vegas working with Teddy Hart and Joey Janela, who just came off of a crazy freaking match with Jon Moxley at AEW. But I love it. I consider myself a gypsy now because I don't like staying still very long. Like, Vegas has become my second home. This is my third trip in, like, less than 6 months going back. But... being a ref is, it's not working, like, it's not wrestling, which is a lot funner for me because it doesn't hurt. Yeah. It doesn't hurt as much. It still hurts on Monday morning when I get up to go to the gym, but it's not as painful. Like, I can still move the next morning. Like, I mean, you've done those rides where your back locks up 20 minutes in, and you're like, oh God, how am I going to make it through?
Try 8-hour drive. And
my first trip out to go back east to work, I took a Greyhound bus. That was a 4-day trip to go work a show. And I don't regret the match, but I regret the travel, because coming back, my back locked up so bad. I looked like an 80-year-old man trying to go through terminals at every little stop. It was like, man, I got to get flights. This is not how you're supposed to travel if you're going to do this stuff. And I did that 3 times, and then finally I was like, I'm never doing that again. And now I fly almost everywhere I go. Being a weekend warrior versus being like full-time, if it's what you do, it's what you do. Find your thing, stick with it. I mean, there's need for weekend warriors, there's need for full-timers. I mean, exactly. Find your place, stick with it. That's what I've kind of made my motto now, is everybody has a place in professional wrestling, whether it's a fan, being a fan on the other side of the rail, or being on the inside of the rail as a worker, production, you know, ring crew, whatever it may be. We all have our place in the business. And once we realize that's where we're supposed to be, oh, the sky's the limit. And if we all work together, there's nothing we can't do.
Straight up.
It's taken me a while to get that mindset, but once it finally hits you in the face, it's like clear as day what you're supposed to do and what you need to do in the business. Like, I do graphics now on the side just because I see a lot of graphic. Like, people put posters up and it looks like they took 2 seconds on paint shop, like Microsoft Paint, and it's like, hit me up. I'm not going to charge you anything. Just send me what you need done, and I will get it done for you. I'm
part of the brotherhood.
If you don't mind, I'm going to put that out there right now. Anybody that's listening to this podcast, promoters, it doesn't matter if you're a wrestler, musician, whatever it may be. If your Flyers game is not what you want it to be, go on your Instagram, look up Fresh AF Designs, hit me up on there, send me a message, follow me. And I'll get you taken care of, no problem, no questions asked. And if you look at that nice little design that's on that Wrestling Fandom podcast, that was done from Fresh AF Designs.
Yes,
you know what the AF is, you've been living under a rock for the last 20 years. So I don't think I need to emphasize that we are all, and I'd say this, all my designs I put my name on are fresh as fuck. So go on there, give me a holler if you need anything taken care of. We'll get everything squared away pretty quick. So,
all right. So you're working in the business, and you're helping out this new promotion that's about to start up.
Oh yeah.
Support All Pro Wrestling.
Yeah.
SAPW. Tell me a little bit about it. Do you guys have a first date of available already? Do you, you know,
yeah,
give us some backstory.
I can give you a little bit before my boss AG gets too mad at me. We got some stuff that we had to keep hush hush until the time comes around. I've talked to you off air a little bit about it.
I get that.
But SAPW, we took a step back. It's a group of guys and girls in the business. We took a step back. We looked at what was going on the indies as far as, you know, everybody's wanting to compete. Like, what's the point? Everybody wants to compete, but nobody wants to work together. So with SAPW, we want everybody to pretty much network together, come together, and make wrestling better as a whole. Not just, oh, my show was better than your show this week, our talent roster was better, all this stuff. Put that to the side. If we all come together and go, okay, what can we do to make our fans happier in the long run, then let's do it. Like, don't sit back and wait and make our fans go sit back on their couch and watch the same stuff every single week on television. Let's give them something fresh and, you know, show them what happens when the camaraderie is brought to the forefront versus bringing politics and everything into it.
Make it more family and brotherhood.
Exactly. Like, actually highlight the brotherhood versus keeping it so much into the back. Like, I took the guys that I work with, like, their hearts are 100% into our business. Like, this is all we eat, sleep, breathe pro wrestling. Like, that's all we think about. I know you're the same way, because I can hit you up at 3 o'clock in the morning. Yeah, you get mad at me, but if I say, hey, did you watch Raw last night, you'll say, shut up, go to bed, I'll message you in the morning and we'll talk about this. Yeah. But first thing in the morning we had that conversation about what happened. But pro wrestling is what we do. Like, it doesn't matter. If I go to the grocery store right now and I walk down an aisle, I'm not thinking about picking something off of that. I'm thinking about what happened with Stone Cold and Booker T back in the day. Like, is that about to happen again? Like, it just goes through your mind. But I digress on that. But SAPW, we came together. We decided we're going to do shows. It's not just going to be us doing graphics and getting people promo photos, gear, and all that stuff, which is what it originally was. It was just supposed to be helping out with graphics for people. If their gear was starting to look a little shabby, we were going to try and help them get it. We have like 4 or 5 gear makers now that we talk with that we can send people out to.
Help hook other workers.
Pretty much, yeah. We're just trying to help everybody out, make them look as good as they can.
Kind of be a helpful agent.
Be that middleman in between.
Yeah, point them in the right direction.
Yeah, I mean, everybody needs to push in the right direction sometimes. I mean, I've always needed it. You've put your foot in my ass several times to push me in the right direction. Several people have. But we were pretty much told, like, AG set us all down. Like, he's our boss and our event coordinator, and he set us all down and he's like, look, first and foremost, this is about professional wrestling, not about ourselves. Ego's checked at the door. Like, if you bring an ego into the building when we're working with you, you might as well pack it back in and leave right back out that door. Like, we have some pretty heavy hitters coming in. I don't know how many people have actually seen the flyers. We put them out. My good friend Teddy Hart's coming in to throw down in the ring.
That's gonna be awesome.
That was one of those things, like, it came out of the blue, like going to Vegas for StarCast, just met him going to a show, and the next thing I know he's wanting to come out and work with us. So he'll be coming in. Marty the Moth's coming in.
Nice.
Then we got our local guys. Jay Manson will be on the card. Our resident giant of Spokane will be on the card. Jackson Price, newcomer to Spokane, who I actually reffed the tournament for Queen of the Ring this last weekend, CJ Stokes, who won the Queen of the Ring. Amazing talent, and I suggest anybody who hasn't seen her work, look her up, because she killed it all weekend. But she'll be on that card. Trying to remember, there's so many names. We signed, like, AG signed it up, and I've seen it twice now, but it's changed both times. So it's like,
well, give a plug to your guys' social media and all that so they can check it out and find out more information.
You can go on your Facebooks, search up Support All Pro Wrestling, SAPW. If you look at that, it should be the poster of the upcoming Downtown Destruction. I don't think I even plugged that yet. I'm getting in trouble for that later. But Downtown Destruction takes place on October 27th. All that info is on the Facebook page and on our Instagram page, which is Support All Pro Wrestling as well. We post stuff on there pretty regularly. If you want to get more info on SAPW, feel free to hit us up. We're always more than welcome to help out. And it doesn't even have to be about our shows. If you need anything in the business, hit us up. We'll help you out. I mean, if you're trying to run a show, heck, if you need a ring crew, hit us up, fly us out, we'll come out, help you up, we'll set up your rings. We don't have no problem doing that. I've done it twice now. It's fun. I don't mind doing ring crew. I mean, you get to see wrestling, you get to meet new people, so it's all cool. It's all fun. I think anybody that
complains... It's all helping the business. Exactly. It's all helping wrestling business.
Exactly. I think anybody that complains about ring crew, and I know that somebody's listening to this who's going to know exactly who I'm talking about, even though you hate doing ring crew, it's part of the game, and you got to play it. So, shout out to Triple H on that one.
All right. Well, in conclusion to this interview today, Greg... I kind of want to see, pick your brain and see where your thoughts and how you think pro wrestling and the future of it looks like. You know, it's 2019. After 15 years, 15 plus years, we finally have a number two. You know, a definitive number two. You know, how do you see pro wrestling's future?
Pro wrestling is just like life. everything changes and nothing stays the same. As we've all been seeing here recently, the face of the game is changing so drastically and so fast. If you're not paying attention, you're going to miss the switch. Because I was a part of the movement with AEW when they went down to Double or Nothing, and I'm not going to lie, best night of my life as far as a fan goes, because there was not one person that was unhappy in that crowd. We were all brothers and sisters wanting one thing, and that was to be entertained with professional wrestling. And as long as that thought remains, everything will stay just fine, but the scene will keep changing. The generations will change. I mean, we're no longer in the days where the ropes were so loose, if you hit them wrong, you're going into the front row. We're in the days where if those ropes aren't tight, somebody's breaking a neck, because they bounce off of them a lot harder and a lot faster. And it seems like it's not so much about the big guys anymore. These little guys are starting to step their game up a lot higher than the big guys, and it's showing. And I'm not putting down the big guys. I was a 320 guy, all right? And I'm not shooting on anybody. But the little guys are stepping up their game, and I think in the next 2-3 years, it's going to be a cruiserweight world. Like, it's going to that point.
It's going to be a complete opposite.
Yeah, it's not going to be about...
the 70s and 80s.
Yeah, it's not going to be about those big jacked Hulk Hogan, you know, looking like they've been putting...
the bodybuilding
types. Yeah, putting the time in the gym 24-7, like every day, eat, sleep, and breathe barbells and squats and all that stuff. These guys are more about their cardio, their agility, their dexterity, and all that stuff. They're all over the place. Like, they're killing it right now. Like, look at Kenny Omega. Not the biggest guy in the world, but throwing up 6-star matches like it ain't nothing. Like, name another guy doing that right now on the scene. Like, yeah, it's a...
Okada, but we'll leave that alone.
Okada, okay. I meant as far as American, okay. On the U.S. soil, Kenny Omega's throwing up those. I mean, we're not overseas right now. I'm hoping to get over to Wrestle Kingdom here soon, so check that out. Thanks to my buddies over at WrestleTravel.org. Like, they're pretty cool. They got some good deals over there. I think we should hit them up and get over there and see if we can get Masa to help us get over to Wrestle Kingdom and check that out for a change, instead of seeing all this American wrestling.
Go sponsor Masa.
Yeah.
Walk up to find Masa and be like, fat ass Masa, we sponsor you tonight. You don't sponsor nobody. We sponsor you.
Exactly. Like,
I would do that for Masa.
You know what's real funny, though? And
after he's done for all the people that have... all the gaijin that's been over to...
Yeah. Before we go off, and I actually have to hit the road to get ready to get down to Vegas this week. That's a long travel, let me tell you. I mean, the flight's short, but the drive back sucks.
Yeah.
Before I get off here, I just want to say, if you're in the business, don't let it discourage you when somebody gives you advice. Take it mouth shut, ears open. The worst thing I ever did was not listen to the people that were actually giving me the right advice and listen to the people who were giving me the wrong advice. So no matter what, when those veterans look at you and say, no, you need to listen, shut your mouth, open your eyes, open your ears, and listen and learn. Because that's the only way you're going to get better. And that'll keep you in the business for years and years to come. Promise you that. And I hope that everybody just keeps supporting what we do as far as professional wrestling goes. Because without fans, we ain't nothing. Straight up. But Jesse, thank you for having me, man. I appreciate it.
Thank you. I really want to thank you for being my first guest.
Oh, no problem, man.
Wrestling fandom. I'm sure we'll have you come back, because I know I want to do a couple panels, and I know I want to do some sort of watch along, but that's more in the works.
I'll tell you what, when I get back from Vegas this week, I'll come in and sit down, and I'll give you the rundown on what happened back there if you would like to have me back. I mean, I'm more than happy to come back. You have my number, you have my email. I'm always around to help you, man.
Definitely. We'll definitely have you back and listen to more of your wrestling fandom stories.
Yes, sir.
Hey, wrestling fandom podcast listeners. Do you like the show? Would you like to help support the show? Then please go over to our T-Shirt Spring stores at tshirtsprings.com/stores/wrestling wrestling-fandom-pod. And please pick up a t-shirt, a sticker, and support the show. Thank you. Well, Wrestling Fandom Podcast listeners, that's the end of this week's episode. I hope you enjoyed it, and I hope you come back next week. As next week, I talk to another close friend of mine, Joe Hernandez Rodriguez. And that show, pretty much, I got a good feeling, will be nothing but action figure talk. So, hope you enjoyed the show, and we'll see you next week. Thank you.